northern petal of Braj, there's a place called Sheshashayi. Anyone been there? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, danced and chanted in ecstasy. You read Prabhupada Lilamrita. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on Vrajmandal Parikrama, then he, on the last day, Srila Prabhupada came. And that's when all of the devotees went to this, see the Seshashayi Vishnu. It has a wonderful story attached to it. But Srila Prabhupada didn't go. Srila Prabhupada stayed along with some of the senior associates of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he just heard from the spiritual master, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very much appreciated that. You know, during Srila Prabhupada's time, when we went to Vrindavan, we didn't go on Purukram every day. We usually went every second day, and we went, and then even on the day that we went after Prabhupada gave class. Once Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me when Prabhupada, when he was Prabhupada's secretary, and this was when Srila Prabhupada was still relatively well, and after being in Krishna Balaram Mandir compound for a couple of weeks, he just went out to see the temples of Vrindavan. And of course, while he was out, Prabhupada called for him, and he wasn't there. So when he came back, Prabhupada said, "Where did you go?" He says, I went to see some of the temples of Vrindavan." He says, "Why?" He said, "I went to see deities." He says, "We have our own deities." He says, "Why do you have to go see some other deities?" He says, "Well, I want to visit some of the places of the acharyas." He says, "No, you should stay here. Everything is here in this temple." Of course, Srila Prabhupada also encouraged devotees to do parikrama, but he wanted it to end. He personally took devotees on parikrama. But he also had this concern also that we very much appreciate the places that he gave us as places where everything is already here. In this place of Seshashayi Vishnu, during the time of Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and was herding cows with the cowboy boys, and he left his friends, as he usually did, and he went and met with Srimati Radharani and the gopis, like he often does. And they got into discussions. There are very many humorous, deep, very wonderful discussions that go on as, between Krishna and his associates. And sometimes they're in relationship to Krishna's divinity. So the topic came up that the Karanadakshaya Vishnu who lies in the ocean of milk, that Krishna is that Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Actually, this discussion came up amongst the gopis themselves. And so they asked Krishna, "Is this true?" But the way they ask Krishna is they're asking, "Are you the cowherd boy, that same person who's lying in the ocean of milk?" They're not asking, "Is that person who's lying in the ocean of milk you?" In other words, not asking, "Are you is God? Are you God?" But they're just assuming that he, amongst other wonderful things that Krishna does, he also does that. And so Krishna says, "Yes, I'm kind of Lakshmi Vishnu, and Srimati Radharani is Lakshmi Devi." So they said, "We want to see. We'd like to see. If you really want to see manifest these many arms that you have, and we like to see Lakshmi massaging your feet, and we also want to see this ocean of milk. So Krishna called the cows. Cow reports were on that side, the cows were grazing in between, and they were over here. He called the cows, and the cows started to create this little ocean of milk, and which is a Kshir Sagar. And when that ocean became very large, then Anantadev appeared, Lord Balaram, transformed into Anantadev, and Krishna walked on him and lay down and manifest his arms and crowns and the opulence of Vaikuntha. And Srimati Radharani stepped on and took on the form of Lakshmadeva and started massaging his feet. And so the gopis were very enchanted. And they were very enchanted about how wonderful it is that Krishna can do these things. And it didn't necessarily dilute their attachment or affection for Krishna. They just considered that Krishna was very wonderful to be able to display these kind of pastimes. And so there's a temple there. It's called Sheshashaya Vishnu. And a very interesting thing about Krishna manifesting the form of Shirodakshai Vishnu is that there are many, we know that there are many Vishnu forms. Rama, Adi, Mukti, Shukalani, Amina, Krishna. They're actually ananta, unlimited. But Krishna's incarnations that are manifest in Vrindavan are always the original of all these forms. So when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, it's not that he becomes Shirodakshaya Vishnu, it's Krishna manifesting four arms or eight arms or ten arms, as many arms as you have, along with the opulences of Vaikuntha. And Shirodakshaya Vishnu becomes an expansion of this Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Sometimes in his pastimes, Krishna, for instance, manifests the form of Lord Varaha. There's a place just not far from Krishna Balaram Mandir, which is called Varaha Ghat. And that's where Krishna showed his form of Varaha to the gopis. On the other side of the river, he showed in Madhravan. He showed the form of Varaha to the cowherd boys. So when Krishna manifests the form of Varaha in Vrindavan, that's the original form of Varaha. The form of Varaha that he manifests when he's fighting with Hiranyaksha is an expansion of this form. Because everything in Vrindavan is original. And everything outside, not only just Vrindavan, and not only Krishna's forms, but every other dham is a manifestation of Vrindavan dham, beginning with Mathura and Dwarka and Ayodhya and Vaikuntha and all of these other places. They manifest certain parts or certain aspects of the opulences and the sweetness of Braj. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went there and he danced and chanted in ecstasy appreciating Krishna's wonderful transcendental pastime. So when I was reading and writing that, and I was thinking about Bhaktivedanta Manor, because it always intrigued me, why did Prabhupada want Mahavishnu in the middle of the lake? I'm not giving an answer, I'm just saying that this came across to me, that here is Mahavishnu in Braj, original Mahavishnu, who's actually Krishna, and it's part of the Vrindavan pastime of Lord Krishna. Many such places, for instance, people take great trouble to go to Badrinath. Anyone been to Badrinath in the Himalayas? Few devotees. But that's not the original Badri. The original Badri is in Vrindavan. That's why it's called Adi Badri. There are 60 billion holy places in the universe, and all of them have their original forms in Vrindavan, and outside of Vrindavan is their expansion. So Badrinath is right in the corner, way, way in the corner of Vrindavan, past Kamila. And similar pastime, as with the pastime of Manasiganga, is that Nanda Maharaj wanted to go to Badrinath. But Krishna has no interest in going to the Himalayas. And certainly it would be very inconvenient to try to herd all the cows up into the mountains. Maybe like Hannibal, he can take elephants across the mountains. But cows is something else. So Krishna doesn't like to leave Vrindavan. In fact, not only doesn't like to leave, he just doesn't leave. He is always there. He always stays. So when he saw that they were making preparations, he says, Father, what's the preparations being made for? He says, we're going on pilgrimage, and we're going to Badrinath. We're going to Badrinath in order to see Lord Narayan. So once again, Krishna gave the argument, why are you going there? Don't you know that actually Narayan and Badrinath are present here in Braj? Nanamara says, I know Vrindavan very well. I've never seen Narayan over here. He says, but you haven't been over there. So anyway, once again, Krishna is very convincing. You've noticed that. He usually gets his way. Whatever we want, it doesn't matter what we want. If Krishna's not in agreement, it's not going to happen. What's going to happen is what Krishna wants, especially with his devotees. But Krishna doesn't have to be so very argumentative with his associates. They're much more submissive than we are. But because they're so attached to him, they just always let him get his way. He's very enchanting. He's not just enchanting to the gopis, but he's enchanting to everyone. His way of talking, his mannerisms, you've seen some of that when you see pictures of Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada makes gestures with his fingers, how he talks, how he punctuates his words, how he laughs and smiles. It's very enchanting. So Krishna is also very enchanting. He literally mesmerizes people when he talks to them. And so they become what we call hypnotized. They become hypnotized, and whatever you want is fine. It's only when we're in illusion that we're able to say no to Krishna. Because Krishna does give us that ability to say that. But if we stay under his spell, Krishna's sort of spell of love, then everyone gives in. So they gave in. And instead of heading off to the Himalayas, which would have been a long trek, and they would have been gone for a long, long time, then they went to... there are a whole series of little mountains over there that are equivalent, and Kedarnath is there, and Badrinath is there. So the original form of Narayan is there, and there's actually a self-manifest form of Narayan there in Adi Badri, and that's why it's called Adi Badri. The Vrijvasis make it very plain that this is Adi Badri, and that's the expansion of this Badrinath. The difference is that one will not get actually the same sweetness of Vrindavan and will not be able to taste. Everyone who's been to Vrindavan knows that Vrindavan has this madhurya, this very sweet quality. You'll not be able to taste that in the Himalayas unless you're very, very Krishna conscious. Himalayas is sort of a matter of survival. But in Vrindavan, it's a very extraordinary experience. And they went there, and they saw Narayan. And then they went back, and they were very happy. They saw all of the Tapovan and all the different holy places that are situated there. They took their bath. The women cooked offerings to the Lord. And then they went back in the evening, and everyone was very happy. Yes, actually, we've gone to Badrinath. What a wonderful place Vrindavan is, that everything is already here. Some little time later, the gopis had heard that Krishna had gone there. They weren't privy to that exposition, to that picnic expedition. So they went, they wanted to see. We also want to see this Badrinath. We want to see this deity. So they went there and they saw, and they were talking amongst themselves. He says, where did this place come from, and how is it such a wonderful place, a place of austerity and so on? And he was this unique deity of the Lord. And as it so happened, Krishna showed up. And then they began to speak with Krishna. And Krishna asked him, are you really appreciating this place in my form of Narayana? He said, what do you mean your form of Narayana? Narayana is a brahmachari. He's a celibate brahmachari. He says, how could that be you? And of course they got into a little discussion and an argument as Krishna was trying to explain to them his brahmachari status, and that actually Narayana is just his partial expansion. So ultimately, in order to convince the gopis, then he actually manifests himself in that same form. And they could see, just in the same way as it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they could see that same form of Lord Narayana. And that's the original Narayana. And the one in Badrinath is his expansion. So everything is original because Vrindavan is the original Dham. Krishna is the original form or the personality of Godhead. And then everything else expands from there, just like a lotus expands right from the center of a whorl. So these are, and there are so many other pastimes where Krishna actually exhibits these unique forms or extraordinary forms of his incarnations. And all of these, just like here we see Lord Ramachandra, also not far in that place, the original form of Ayodhya is there. Not only there's Ayodhya, but Krishna says in this Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Sanatana Goswami, Lagu Bhagavatamrita is Rupa Goswami. And this Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami quotes Krishna as saying, he says, that amongst my incarnations, my form of Lord Ramachandra is my favorite. And Krishna very much likes to also enact, just like we see children really like to enact Ramachandra pastime. When Krishna was young, he would do that. He enacted it in different places in Vrindavan. But particularly also there, halfway, although it's quite a distance, halfway between Adibadri and the Sheshashai is this place called Sitaram. And that's on the far western petal of Braj. And here Krishna was with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And the topic came up is that you were Lord Ramachandra in the past. Now, this discussion comes up a lot. Radharani brings it up. When she's talking to the bee, that Krishna was Ramachandra in the past, and how he defaced Suparna just because she wanted to accept him as a wife, and therefore he's unreliable. When Krishna is also in Kamyavan with the gopis, then there's this big Lanka Kund, where Krishna called the monkeys in order to actually build the bridge, and he showed them that he was the same Ram by playing the flute. He made all the stones float, and then they walked across to the other side. Still there, while the lake isn't there, now it's sort of a basin, but it's just opposite this Bimalkund, a very beautiful big lake, which is sort of a prime pilgrimage place in Kamyavan. And so here at this place, the Pope said, we want to see you as Sita and Ram. So then Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they adopted the forms of Sita and Ram in Panchavati forest, because they were in Vrindavan forest. They were in the middle of nowhere with beautiful kunjas and trees, and there were just the birds. So it was just as if they were in Panchavati forest. And of course, in that forest, there was just Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. There was nobody else. So when Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they took this form of Lord Ramachandra, they became fully absorbed in that mood. And to them, the gopis became invisible. And they became like, gopis became like sort of observers, like we sit and watch some kind of TV or some type of performance. And they became just absorbed, as if they were living out in Pachavati forest, in a little thatched hut. And where is Lakshman? Oh, he's going to get some fruits and roots so that for our supper. And is Jatayu nearby? And they were conversing and discussing and speaking as Ram and Sita would speak to each other. And those type of exchanges went on for some time. And the gopis also sort of forgot their own. They sort of became observers, but they forgot their identity as gopis. They were just individuals watching the pastime of Sita and Ram unfold. And then, of course, time always has a certain influence in Vrindavan, and because it becomes late and time to do something else, and some of the pastimes to unfold, so ultimately Krishna and Radha come back to their own consciousness, and then they become cowherd boy, cowherd girl, and they continue on. Here also we see Lord Ramachandra is present. Particularly to emphasize Srila Prabhupada's motive in installing deities of Sita and Ram was to emphasize that those very popular deities of Sita and Ram are actually expansions. Lord Ramachandra is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And that in the same way as many, many personalities attain Krishna's association by the grace of Lord Ramachandra. Similarly, by praying to Lord Ramachandra, one can actually become an associate of Lord Krishna. Sages of Dandakaranya forest, they were worshippers of Gopal. They chanted the Gopal mantra, the Brahmins chant, 18-syllable Gopal mantra. And when they saw Lord Ramachandra, they were amazed. They said, this is our Gopal, but he's got no flute, he's got bow and arrow, and he's not bluish, he's greenish in complexion. But they were very, very amazed. They came to realize that, yes, actually, he's the same person. So they said, like Sita, we want to become like Sita. And Lord Ramachandra said, no. He says, I've taken an ekapatni vrata. He says, in my next incarnation, when I appear in Braj, then you can take birth. Yeah. I have a little one. And just one last one, which you probably heard me say because it's such a nice story, is Lord Ramachandra gives everyone an opportunity to enter, not just particularly enter Krishna's pastimes, but to actually become a gopi. What Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Krishna book, that this Krishna consciousness movement is to help its members enter into Krishna's rasa dance. And after Lord Ramachandra had sent Sita Devi away into the forest, he was continuing to rule. He was continuing to rule as a king, and he would regularly, annually have to perform sacrifice, but he had no wife. So how would he perform sacrifices? So every year he made these golden sitas, and along with the deity of Sita, which he would install, then he would perform the sacrifice. And when the sacrifice was finished, then he would take this deity of Sita and they would place it in the palace. So after many years, he accumulated this whole palace full of sitas. One day Lord Ramachandra went into the palace and there were these hundreds and hundreds of deities of Sita, and they said, you're our husband. He says, you can't just keep us here in this palace. You have to deal with us properly as wives. And Lord Ramachandra said, well, that's not possible. I've taken an ekapatni vrata. He said, well, that's all right. We're all the same ekapatni that you took a vow of. So, well, that's how the deal. There's a lot of you. And actually the original is still off in the forest. So I won't accept you now, but when I come again in the future incarnation, then you'll appear there as gopis in Vrindavan. And then I can accept you all. Then there's no limit. Then there could be many, many. There's no Eka Padmi Bhata. So even these deities, these golden deities of Sita Devi, Lord Ramachandra, gives the opportunity to enter into Vrindavan. So when we pray to Lord Ramachandra, we should pray for him to be very kind to us, because he's very kind. Actually, these sages of Dandakaranya forest, they didn't really have the adhikar to attain Krishna's association. They were not in the platform of prema, they were bhava bhaktas. The Lord Ramachandra, by his grace, just elevated them. So Lord Ramachandra is very, very kind. He's very merciful. And we should take shelter of him to get Krishna's association. Don't want to become a dasi of Sita Devi, but by Sita Devi's grace, you can become a dasi of Srimati Radharani, or at least you can get Krishna's grace and become a associate of Radharani. Anyway, let's chant a little Hare Krishna, and then we should always keep thoughts of Krishna within our mind. Wherever we go, that's the ultimate goal of our Krishna consciousness. Smartavyam, Sapatam Vishnu. All these rules and regulations are meant to help us think of Krishna. What does it mean to think of Krishna? Actually, any way we think of Krishna is fine. But at the same time, if we read Srila Prabhupada's books and books of our acharyas, we see that there's also a systematic way of thinking Krishna, and that's thinking of Krishna in practice. And ultimately, as our heart becomes purified and can practice, then it comes naturally. Just like, for instance, thoughts of material life, thoughts of our family, you don't have to practice it, right? It just comes naturally. So when thoughts of Krishna become that natural, and that they submerge everything else, then our Krishna consciousness is becoming mature. That's what we want to be, Krishna consciously. Hare Krishna.